and welcome to Women with AI, a podcast for women to share their stories, insights, and expertise while also engaging us in conversations about the impact of AI on gender equality and representation. Today, I'm speaking with someone who's not only a commercial strategist, global ad tech startup pro, consultant, mentor, and a public speaker. She also makes the time to organize wellness retreats, hula hoop, surf, teach yoga, and roller skate. So I can't wait to hear more about all of that later in our conversation. But before we jump into discussing her passion for AI, let me tell you a little bit more about today's guest, Joy Dean. Joy is an energetic go-getter with 18 years experience leading sales, data and partnership teams to success, and she's responsible for launching many leading ad technology companies during their reign across the digital ecosystem. As a commercially driven startup professional, her journey has been one of expansion and strategic connections. Joy is passionate about AI and its use in innovation horizontally across the tech and data landscape. Her ambition is to continually make an impact, leveraging her deep knowledge, dynamic personality, and growth mindset. And she certainly does all of that. Joy Dean, welcome to Women with AI.
Hey, thanks for having me.
That's great. So it's great to have you here, I mean. So before we, to get us started, how did you end up in your current line of work?
Oh, the long, twisting and winding road of Joy ending up in ad tech. I actually went to university. I have 3 degrees. I went to university for graphic design and visual communication. And then I switched over to theatrical design and visual communication extension, costume designing. Right. And I've always been really interested in creating. I've always been really interested in innovation, whether that was digital, whether that was taking a, you know, something like a piece of fabric from a flat dimension, from first dimension to third. I've always just been driven by that. And in 2006, I think it was, a friend of mine was actually working at an advertising, ad tech company called Tribal Fusion. And Tribal Fusion is now, it's gone through many different iterations. So it's Tribal Fusion, Exponential, then it went on to be VDX. And I got hired in as a junior kind of publisher account manager. And they were so worried. They were like, you're going to get bored in this role. You've been, because at the time I was already doing like costuming. I was running my own business. They're like, you're going to get bored doing this. Like it's a junior role. And I'm like, no. I love to learn. So it's a really, it's just another additional tool set that I'm bringing, that I'll be able to kind of add to my wheelhouse. And surely within about 6 months, I was already getting promoted because my skill set from working as an entrepreneur really was able to be applied to anything. I mean, that's one of the things about women that do different roles. Yeah. We are able to kind of transition our skill sets into other positions. Mm-hmm. So I did. And eventually the company started to globalize and they needed someone that was not afraid to just run through the doors yelling and screaming about how great the tech was in another country. And so, yeah, they were flying me out to England and I kind of launched the UK division. And eventually I was going back and forth and eventually they were like, do you want to move there? And I was like, absolutely, let's go. Let's do this. And they sent me to London.
Wow.
I think there was two other people in the company at the time. And from there, I've literally been doing that same kind of move over and over again. So launching the US company, I brought it to the UK. And now I take companies that are outside of the UK, you know, whether it's in Europe or US, and I help them kind of roll out their products or their strategy in market. Mm-hmm. And it's good. It's nice because it leans into what I've always been doing, which is I've always been an entrepreneur. Yeah. So it's kind of like being a mini entrepreneur inside of a bigger bubble,
yeah,
right? Because they hire me when there's no one else on the ground to basically launch and build. And that's what I've been doing my entire life. So yeah. I just kind of transitioned it into advertising.
Brilliant. And tell me about your work at Tobi and how you use AI there. Because I'll get it right. It's eye tracking. Is that right?
So let me tell you, Tobi, the mothership Tobi, has been around since 2001, and it is a world leader in eye tracking and attention computing. And when I say best in class technology, I really mean it. Like they've spent the bulk of the earnings of the company are going into R&D for the eye tracking. And that eye tracking has only recently in the last like 6 years been starting, been used in the advertising space. Previously, they were using it for healthcare, you know, for DMS, for gaming, for education. Mm-hmm. So all to using technology to make people's lives better, basically, you know, early on, discovering like early onset and now this word is Alzheimer's. There you go. Alzheimer's or things like brain trauma. So using eye tracking to actually understand cognitive response and behaviors, and then using that to make analysis and inform decisions about someone's healthcare. Wow. I mean, it's amazing. So they eventually, in the last, as I said, 6 years, wanted to start providing this data to the digital ecosystem. And so that's where I came in. Mm-hmm. I came on board to launch a division called ATEX, which is an attention data exchange. And it's literally taking eye tracking, using eye tracking hardware and technology to collect and measure data, attention data and fixation and gaze data through the eye of an actual human on an actual page, on an actual ad. Yeah. Take that data as an output and then pass it on to a customer that uses it in their platforms to create their, you know, a machine learning or AI driven algorithms. Yeah. So it's really the foundation of we're the enabler. We create the data sets that are given to others to then build on top whatever kind of artificial intelligence that they deem fit or what's useful to their customers or useful in their long term strategy.
Yeah. Wow. And so are you using AI to collect it as well, or no, you're the data, you're providing the data?
We're the data. I mean, there is some kind of machine learning done in eye tracking in general. So eye tracking is when you have near infrared light, it's coming from a camera, the light reflects onto your eyes and the reflection goes back to the camera. Mm-hmm. And then the computing system reads that, it takes calculations and fixations and then pulls that data to determine what you're looking at. Yeah. So there is a little bit of machine learning in this and the calculations of the information, but we are all about collecting the input. So this really high quality, passive, always on and locally collected data sets from an opted in panelist, putting it comes into the platform. Our data system then gives it an analysis, right? So it puts it into its correct buckets, if you will, in layman's terms. And then there's an output, and that output is attention fixation data against ad delivery, and then we pass that on to the customer.
And
so we're kind of the first step in the process of building an AI platform. Yeah. We're the first step in the process of evolving something that you might already be doing by giving it more juicy, dynamic, sexy data points to then be able to build really robust systems on top of.
And do you do so to avoid any bias and that kind of thing? Like, do you do equal amounts of like men and women? And I don't know, does it matter? Eye color, because I mean, there's got to be differences with men and women. Like, that's because my worry, this is what I'm trying 100%. To find out as I discover more and more about AI, is that kind of it's those data sets, it's making sure that it's equal data, that it's men and women, it's not being biased to one sex or the other. So, how do you overcome
that? So, this is one of the always going to be inherent biases in some data collection, depending on how it's collected, because the whole idea is that you have to start, for AI to work or any kind of machine learning, you start with a data set. Mm-hmm. And then you can, if depending on who's inputting that data or who's collecting that data, they can transfer their biases onto the data sets for sure. Yeah. For us, because we are not creating the AI models, we are just collecting the raw data. So there's no bias in it. And because it's a panel that we're collecting it from, it actually allows us to see demographics. So we can see by age, gender, location, you know, whatever it is, we can see what your attention fixation is. So we can tell the difference between a man and a woman, a man and a woman of a different age groups, different locations. So age, location, and gender. It's really, really raw. And I think it's a really good point to make, is that when you're working with any sort of AI or machine learning systems, you need to make sure that the inputs are as high quality, as unbiased as possible. Yeah. Because if you're making a prediction on top of a prediction, it leaves room for error and inaccuracy, which is why we always tell our customers, and anyone that will listen, this is me shouting off the rooftop here, is to always make sure that the input is the highest quality, passively collected, as unbiased as possible before you start using it to create your long-term AI. Yeah. Because garbage in, garbage out, right? Like, if you don't use the most high accuracy pieces, what you get on the other end is also going to reflect that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, thank you for explaining that. And that... because we're here on Women with AI, and I want to, you know, talking to all these amazing women like yourself. And what are your thoughts on the sort of the future of AI and how it might impact on women specifically? Or do you, do you think it will?
Well, as a woman, yeah. let me just start there. I mean, I definitely think there's goods and there's a benefit and there's the negative. There's that's with every technology. I think inherently data doesn't have, you know, in the space that I'm in data and tech, we don't have as many women on the forefront actually leading the strategy for go to market for AI or go to market for data or big learning or deep dive, all of that stuff typically around data or coding or any of these kind of more technical areas tend to have a higher percentage of men working in the space, leading the space, or being at a high decision-making level within the space. And that's something that we as women need to, you know, as we spoke before, like lean into making a change. And, you know, for me, yes, there should be, the ladder should be thrown down, of course, but also I am empowering myself, and I challenge every other woman listening to this to empower themselves to just immerse yourself in learning what it is and how it works and seeing if there's a space that you can slide into. Yeah. Because ultimately the roles that are impacted with AI are typically more creative roles. Marketing will be heavily affected by it, because now you can do, you know, use large language models to create imagery, to create text. A lot of the stuff that you would do as a marketing exec or as a marketing strategist, which is like sales decks and, you know, creating collateral and creating branding, all of that stuff can be done using AI. Mm-hmm. So those roles are typically female roles. That's going to go, or it will at least have much, it will impact the amount of jobs that will be available in that sector, which means then you're all fighting for one spot. Whereas if you can learn how these large language models work and how to use these inputs, kind of call and response setups, then it will make you more desirable as an employee, right? Mm-hmm. So you already have the creative skill. This can then be an application of your creative skills. I think also the positive is you've got great opportunities for data visualization. So making things that seem really difficult to understand, to make them a lot easier to because you can look at it. Mm-hmm. You can actually use AI to take data points and visualize them into something that you can look at, right? Yeah. You can use it in so many ways. I mean, even the things that we were doing previously for, you know, and eye tracking, so healthcare and DMS systems and all of that, AI is going to help a lot with that. So it's great. Yeah. But again, make sure as a female that we don't just assume that it's not for us. Yeah. Because it's all for us.
Yeah.
It's ready. Go pick it. Go pluck the cherry. Grab the apple. Yeah. It's just about figuring out, you know, how it works. And that's ask questions. Yeah. That's, you know, go online. That's sign up. I mean, you asked me before about where to find this stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I just started going to it's an app called Domestika. Shout out to Domestika. And it's literally top level, you know, online courses that are done in a more creative weight. So if you're more creatively leaning, mm-hmm. Than something like going to an online course that's just reading a bunch of materials online. So it gives you an easy way in. It's got lots of different use cases. And then if you find something you like, then you would go and, you know, maybe do some training. Or if you're in a marketing role already, speaking to your employer and saying, hey, I'm really interested in mm-hmm. learning more about how I can use AI in my role,
yeah.
and start learning that way and seeing if you can get additional assistance. Yeah. And ask a friend,
yeah.
call me, DM me, slide into my DMs. I'll help you
yeah.
out.
Yeah, no, I love that advice. You're right. It is. It's about leaning into it and not being afraid. Because I might have mentioned this before in the podcast. I don't know. There is, I think I did. But there's a BBC article about women not using it. I mean, this was last year. And sorry for repeating it. But it I think it's really important because women, you know, as a woman, or you might think, oh, no, I don't need that. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to, you know, that need to maybe sort of prove yourself sometimes. It's like, no, if the help is there, take it, use it,
exactly.
and learn to use it, because actually the more you use it, you'll get quicker, it will get quicker, it will do a better job at providing you with your social media posts or your marketing plan or your news release, you know, from a sort of marketing, that's what I use it for, kind of point of view. But listening to people, other people talk about using it, and the more you ask it to create an image or something, it's about you knowing what you want it to give to you. So you're yeah. right, we can only use it if we do lean into it and
100%. Start using and it. Also, it makes, it removes, because remember, if this is a learning model, if this is a, like if you look at generative AI, it's about feeding in data sets, and then it can learn from those data sets to then create new data sets in similar fashion, in the same kind of style. Yeah. We need our voices in it.
Yeah.
So the more women that are using these kind of large language models or being involved in working in AI, it's getting our voices into those training sets as well.
Definitely.
And that's like, you know, we need to have women of all colors. Yeah. We need to have women of all backgrounds. We need to have women of all coming from different regions. Mm-hmm. So we can also feed into these systems so they can benefit us.
Yeah.
Right. Or if you're, you know, want to start your own business, like this is a way, if you're a mom and you're like, or a mother, right. Or you're a caregiver, let's say, or maybe you're a part-time grad student, these things, these models can help cut time for the, you know, that's one of the best applications. It's like taking repetitive work and streamlining it, or cutting down time that it takes to get something done, or, you know, giving you prompts to help you start something that is more difficult for you. Maybe you don't know where to start. These things can help you level up your efficiencies as one in your business, but also in whether or not you want to launch a business, or whether or not you need more time to do something else. And just trying to think about it less like this big scary beast and more like, what could my day-to-day applications of something like this be? And then start there, because it makes it easier to learn from, because it's your day-to-day.
Accept the help is there, use it to make yourself better. There was something that I saw this week, or that's been out recently, and made my blood boil. It was about going into ChatGPT and asking it to do a kind of a job review, or kind of like, you know, how someone done a for the year, you know, the kind of thing. And they put in all the details, and they put in a man's name, it was John. And then they did the exact same and said, can you do the kind of appraisal for the woman, for Jane? And oh my God, but it is just learning from what's been in there. So there's probably like a 100 billion, 1,000, okay, I exaggerate a little bit, but you know, good appraisals for a man. And maybe there aren't so many for a woman at that same level, just because there haven't been that many. It's not that women are worse or that men are better. It's just not there, but
what's available.
It just spat out something that was like, oh yeah, John exceeded everything. He was great. Da, da, da. Oh, Jane. Oh yeah. She met all the expectations. And it was like, what all you,
but it's that inherent bias.
Yeah. And it's the same. You see it. That's why you don't put your name or your age or, you know, on job applications now, you know, like depending on where you're going, obviously, and whether it's for, you know, everything else, all the details need to be stripped back so that you can make, because we do all have that, I guess, that, well, unconscious bias, or it's very easy, isn't it?
I mean, I think, if you think about what these models are, I think, what was it? I just was reading. They said that when this ChatGPT was coming up, it's trained on data from like 2021 or something like this. So the information that it has to work from is the information that's out there. Yeah. We live in a patrilinear society. Yeah. There are the expressions of representation of men and women are very different. So what it's learning from already isn't accurate. It isn't complete. And then there's fake news. Yeah. And then there's all kinds of, you know, user generated content that it's pulling from as well. So we have to think about those. I mean, it leads right into the issues around it. The negative side of it is like privacy, fraudulent information or just deep fake. Or I was just reading an article someone shared in another group that I'm on, and it was about one of the senior leads at WPP having a deep fake attack on him, where someone had used AI to clone his voice.
Oh, wow.
And then went to try to open accounts with clients to get them to invest money, you know, or other people that have been, you know, using the voice activation or the clone voices for the bank, like getting people losing, you know, millions of dollars. And I literally just, it was maybe a month ago, I saw the release of like an updated voice cloning, you know, technology. And I was like, why would you ever? Why would I need to clone my voice? Yeah. And people are like, oh, but you can leave messages from beyond the grave, or you can use it to make the, and I'm like, for me, if I clone my voice, and also I watch a lot of sci-fi, I watch a lot of sci-fi with robots, like pretending to be you and like taking over your life. And I just think it opens up opportunities for a lot more fraud than is necessary, than the benefit would bring.
Yeah. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. do that. Exactly. That's the thing, we create all these things are being created that could do this, it could do that, but should it? Do we need it? There was a drama, a BBC drama, maybe it was like last year, the year before, I can't remember the name of it, we'll find it, but it was about people changing the CCTV cameras. So, you know, a crime's being committed, someone's sitting on a bus or someone's in the street, but they were actually changing it. I mean, but thing is, it seems far-fetched, but if they're doing it, you can guarantee it's being done or someone's going to work out it. 100%. But it was, they were changing the voice. They could change the person's, whether they'd gone on the bus, got off the bus. I will try and find.
100%.
I'll try and find what it was called and sent out. But it's just, it's scary that it's doing that. And then you don't know what to believe. And then the person's on TV and they're recording a live, what they think is a live, you know, interview. And actually, it's not. There's the delay. They've changed it. They've changed what they've said.
100%.
It's terrifying. So,
yeah, I mean, why? They do this all the time in Mission Impossible, changing the...
face. I mean, it's the same.
You know, I mean, it's interesting that... I mean, and it's fun. It's funny, but it's also really... It's interesting because technology, with all of its benefits, it always has these kind of byproducts of negativity. Yeah. And there's always scammers. Yeah. In anything that you do, there's always scammers.
Well, yeah. I mean, a signature. Really? What does that prove?
Right? Yeah. So... I do think that there has to be, we're still in this is like the rise, right? Yeah. So we are in a time where we still need to put protocols in place. Yeah. We need to make sure that all the data collection. Yeah. So if you think about us with eye tracking, right? Mm-hmm. We are able to track eye color, eye gaze, eye shape. Wow. If you're wearing glasses, if you're wearing a hat, like to get really, really accurate information. Yeah. Now, if you don't have privacy and protocols in place to protect that information, like we don't share any personal identifiable information. We don't share anything that's about the user, just about an aggregated group number, da 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 da. Mm-hmm. But if you were to have your hands on data sets that could alter, which generative AI does, it can alter the appearance of something or create, I mean, you can create fake people and they actually sound like real people and look like real people. There's a woman, there's an agency that does it with them. They do it's a Spanish agency and they do, influencer marketing where they created a fake person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's a model. Yeah. So there's a huge rise of these AI models. So you don't have to pay a human being. Yeah. You have a fake person that looks like a real person. Like it's getting so good. Yeah. And then it can, you know, sound like a particular person or they've made up a new voice and put that out and it could be part of your marketing strategy. There's companies using it for campaigns. There's, you know, brands that are testing it out for advertising. So there needs to be obviously some regulation. Mm-hmm. So it says, I personally think it should say if you are selling something or doing an ad campaign or whatever, and it's representing a person, but it's not a human person, it should be defined 100%. Or should be marked in that way. Yeah. You know, like this is an ad using a AI generated model, something like that. So we can start to maintain control of what we're seeing and what we're using and not just be completely in the dark.
Yeah, because then you've made your own decision as well, whether to trust it or believe it or go with it. You know, and we do, you know, you trust the famous person that's maybe saying this, that, you know, but you might get someone that's, you know, promoting the vegan sausages and then you find out that actually they eat meat and you're like, what? But it's you've lied to me, you know, and it's like the same. You might be thinking, oh, I really like that woman or that man or whoever I'm following. And you're like, oh, hang on, they're not real. I mean, there's someone behind
it,
but it's a team of people. But then that's the same with that, you know, all famous people. You see them, you know, we've seen all the pictures from the Met Gala recently. But, you know, if you see behind the scenes, they haven't just stepped out of the car looking like that. There's a team of people behind them doing the hair, doing the makeup, blowing, you know, the dress in the right way or the tuxedo and da da.
Like holding the kit.
Yeah. So it's...
I mean, and by the time the images reach us, they've been airbrushed and photo. I mean, can you think, about it, like AI is just another level of what we've already had.
It's just another
tool. Like Photoshop is what I studied in school, right? And you can warp the body, change the body, change the image, edit the image. Yeah. And this is an extension or a leveling up and an enhancement and of that. It is creating. It's kind of what we've always done. It's kind of a human thing to do. It's like we're always trying to be better and make our tech better. So let's figure out how all of us can use it for the better, but also to keep it clean and know what we're using and when it's being used.
I think, and that's the important bit about getting more women involved or using it and inputting into it. So it is
more representative.
Yeah. So, okay, that's all the bad, scary stuff. What excites you about AI? Like, how do you use it? Or can you, do you use it in your, I don't know, what are your passion projects and
I mean, this is the same things that, I mean, the same thing that is, can be scary about it are the things that also excite me about it. Like, I love, I went to school to be an artist. I have an MFA. I love creating things. So I love being able to sit down. Like, if I take a photo of something, I don't know, I've got like hula hoops right here next to me, right?
Awesome.
And I take some pictures of my my studio. So if I'm like hula hooping and I take a photo of me hula hooping, and then I import that into my, into a platform, and I start adding on detail to it. I can put it into like whatever world. I can turn it into steampunk image. I can make something from my own work and then I can embellish. Now, the scary part of that is always like someone else taking your imagery and then turning it into something and you don't get credit or things like this. But I love the idea that you can create alternate worlds. I love the fact that you can use it to have efficiencies around, like I use it for sales decks and collateral brand pitches. I'm trying to build a festival in Portugal at the moment. And I use it for helping me understand how to do an outline for fundraising. That's just like basic stuff, like largely just using something basic, like a chat, you know, like a chat GPT, like how, giving me an outline of how I can actually start to build my fundraising products and getting prompts, putting in prompts and getting prompts back about things that maybe I didn't think about adding to because I've never done it before. So that's quite good. Or time saving, like all the repetitive data entry that I have to do from any kind of either a conversation that I've had or a, something that I've sold. And instead of, I got my notes here, instead of doing that, I can record it and it can just set it up for me, pull it out by category for me. I don't have to do that manual work. So it saves me time. I think mostly I use it in more of a marketing context and I use it more in a data organizational construct. I use it in a visualization construct because again, I work with a lot of data points at Tobi. So when I get outputs, I like to see it. And we don't give, these are not things that we give to clients, but it's things that I have for myself. So when I'm looking at data, it can be, it's easier for me to understand it, but also it gives me ideas because I see it in a different way. So yeah, I'm much more of a use it to learn and then also to create fun things for kind of my own passion projects.
So tell, I'm fascinated to hear more about the festival, but how has that come about? Because I mentioned earlier, right at the beginning, because you do wellness retreats, which I think at the moment are just for women, but that's just for now, isn't it? I don't know.
That's for now. Next, we got to get the men in there, but that'll be the festival.
But tell me about that. I want to hear everything.
I mean, I, like I said, I've always been a creative and I always love making stuff. Yeah. So in part of building and creating as an entrepreneur, I'm always looking for other avenues to do that in. I get exhausted by the idea of the only time that I can do a client meeting is if we're doing it over lunch or if we have to go have a bunch of drinks. And because I'm getting older, so, you know, drinking like takes 2 days for me to recover from. So you know what I mean? So what if it all started with the way that I brought this into my corporate life was it all just started with me being like, how much cooler would it be for me to take a client to do something that they actually remember? And it's a little bit different. And I started making roller skate events for companies. So I did it for Invives. I did it for Ogre. I did one for OMD. I did one for PhD. Group M, I was doing hula hoop classes. I mean, this is years ago, right? And it was really exciting because one, I got to do something that recharged me rather than depleted me. And I could also do something really fun for my clients that was different, that had nothing to do with getting drunk. And it just really led from there. I started to then think, okay, well, how can I do more of this? Because I love it, you know? And I started thinking, well, I'd gotten made redundant from Ogre at the time. My father had passed away. And I thought, okay, I'm going to take a break from advertising. What am I going to do? Well, I'm going to travel around and hula hoop and roller skate. that was my plan. Wow. So I actually created a B2C event. It was the very first one. It was like wellness, hedonistic wellness, play-based wellness in Ibiza. And I just rented a villa and invited a bunch of people. I didn't think anybody was going to come and want to roller skate and hula hoop. The crazy things that I do,
amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
And it just sold out. It sold out immediately. So I've just kind of continued doing that. I mean, I'm from California. I've always roller skated down by the beach. We have a very kind of you know, Southern California is very beach, sun, skates, hoop, you know, mm-hmm. wellness kind of versions of wellness is really prevalent there. So it's always been in me. And it's keeps me young and happy and playful, and I feel a bit silly, and you know, you can laugh at yourself, not take yourself too seriously. Yeah. And all of those things are also, they feed my productivity in my day job. Yeah. Because then I'm light as air, I'm light as a feather, and I can go into my meetings with such a sense of joy yeah. in me, pardon the pun, but such a sense of joy in me because yeah. I'm filling my own well creatively, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And then I can go out and work in this industry that requires a lot of me as a female, as a, you know, woman in data, as a woman in AI, as a senior leader, as a lot, you know, I need to be at my best. And this is what these kind of play-based wellness events do. It's not, you know, too hippie. It's not too like, Om Yoga Chakra. Yeah. It's like, we're going to play yeah. like we did when we were little kids. And then you're going to take that into the rest of your life and you're going to pass it on to others. It's, you know, it's like that.
I love it. I've definitely been checking out all your posts from your last trip on Instagram. I'm definitely there. Let me know when the next one.
You gotta come. It is such a fun thing to do. And you also build community that's around, yeah. you know, like shared interest and not, I keep saying this, but not around alcohol. And I bring that up a lot because I think in our industry, it's changing in ad tech. It's changing. There's a lot more, you know, alcohol-free events and things mm-hmm. like that. But in ad tech, it typically tends to be much more booze-heavy. Yeah. So we as women can create alternative ways to connect.
Exactly. And it is, just to be completely stereotypical, because a lot of the, you know, industry, a lot of trade fairs, trade shows, I've worked in an industry that was really male-dominated, was the water cooler industry. And I'd go and, you know, but it's all the guys, they're all drinking, they're all going for drinks.
That's where the deals are done.
It is. That's when the handshakes happen and all the rest of it. Exactly. And you're like, oh, there's got to be a better way. And you found it.
I mean, and the great thing is men come to these roller skating events as well. Yeah. So that's brilliant. We know everybody's welcome. Yeah. So, but I definitely want to be a force for bringing good into our digital ecosystem. And whether that's through, you know, my ad tech, my digital sales, eye tracking, attention computing, mm-hmm. you know, how helping women get involved with AI, or even just having, I mean, I would love the idea of just creating like meetups. Mm-hmm. Why don't we have women in AI meetup?
Yeah.
And we all just get together, whether you know anything about it or you don't, and we can sit around and talk about like how it affects our lives and how to bring it into each other's lives. Absolutely. And then we can do some roller skating after.
And you need to teach me how to hula hoop. My niece can do it. She's 7. She's 8 now. No, she's incredible. She just give her a hula hoop, she's off. I'm like, what? Am I going backwards and forwards, side to side?
Yeah, lower center of gravity. It's easy for kids.
Oh, okay. That makes me feel better. Thank you, Joy. Well, this has been, I could talk to you all day. This has been so interesting. And I think you're right. I think it's using AI, it's leaning into it as women, using it to skill up and just make sure that we are there, that we're just getting our voices heard and getting out there and making.
Be a part of the rise rather than waiting for it to tap you on the shoulder. Yeah. Like, get involved in whichever way possible.
Yeah. And I love that you said, just search for it. Like I did, I asked you before, and I was going to, you know, I always ask all our guests at the end, you know, how can people learn about what they've told you? But you're right. It's just getting out there and like reading the articles, put it into Google search, put it into wherever you get your news from. But what is the best way for people to find you? How can people get in touch with you and find out what you do?
So I'm everywhere. You can find me on LinkedIn, The Digital Dean, or Joy Dean, but it's The Digital Dean. Mm-hmm. I'm on Twitter, The Digital Dean, Instagram, The Digital Dean. And I'm actually going to start releasing at least LinkedIn articles weekly about exactly this topic, women in AI. Yeah. So how to get started, what you can do. So please get in touch with me if you have any questions. I'm happy to help. Or you can find me at my email, joydean.com@toby.com. joy.dean@toby.com.
There should be joydean.com. If not, you need to get it. Oh, brilliant. Well, we'll put links to all of that in the show notes and when we share it and everything. And I just, everyone needs to start hooping and skating. And
100%. 100%. We'll all be so fit. Yeah. Rock hard abs.
Yeah. Doing it. Oh, Joy, thank you so much for coming on Women Where They Are. It's been a real pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a great time.
For your time.